You are listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers. You guys, this is an exciting one for us. This is us getting to tell you all about the second annual award-winning Stockton Flavor Fest, which is happening May 19th through 21st at the Weber Point Event Center in downtown Stockton.
Amy, it's actually international award-winning.
Oh, yes. Excuse me.
International. We should talk a little bit about that, last year after our festival, we submitted our festival to the International Festival and Events Association for the in the category of Best New Festival, competing against festivals across the nation and across the globe from a period from 2019 to 2022. So a little larger because of the pandemic, and we took home the top prize.
It was pretty sweet. It never hurts to call yourself an international award winner. But it was something we were just excited to be even be, you know, able to nominate ourselves for this competition. It was quite a process to apply to be considered for an award like this. It's like writing the biggest paper you've ever written in college. And it worked out. And it was awesome. It felt so good to bring it back home for Stockton for people to be proud of, and helps us, you know, spread the word about that we're a legit festival and we had a great time, and that everyone should come out this year. If you missed it last year, and all of our friends and our new fans who came last year who keep, you know, saying such nice things about the new year coming up and everything else, it's just been, I don't know, it's very humbling and sweet. It's very cool. We did it. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guess we can just get right into it, Wes. Those that didn't attend Flavor Fest last year, what are they in for this year? And so what is something that you personally loved about the festival last year?
Well, we heard it a lot from attendees. And I think there's a, if you go to our website, you can really see that recap video, which I think encapsulates it. But I think the vibe, we heard that a lot. Yeah. You know, we really focused with the support of the city and of course our amazing team and our partners with Goodstock, who helps us produce this event. You know, we really focused on the feel of the event and how you felt when you were there with the strolling entertainment and the demonstrations and the decor we did throughout the festival and the music and DJ all day long. I think really we talked a lot about experience when people came to the festival. And of course, we know, since we're award-winning, and we also know because we felt really good at the end, right? I mean, like, it was, I don't want to jinx myself, but it really went, it couldn't have gone better. It was executed perfectly. There was no issues whatsoever that we experienced or any areas where we thought that fell short of last year's festival. So that really just says a lot about our team, of course, but I just think the attendees had a great time. So vibe is it for me, just how you felt when you were there. I mean, we're in a park-like setting, right? We're on the water. So there's already this natural beauty there, and it's lots of shade and all of that. But you know, the decor and the music and just the free art, the art pop-ups around the festival. And of course the smell of food and the amazing entertainment. I don't know. I could just go on and on about all the things that I loved.
No, I feel that. And well, and it's so crazy too. What I loved about it was that, so Wes, when I took this job in the spring-ish of 2021, we talked about like, oh, you know, there hasn't been like a huge festival downtown in a long time. And we were still riding off the high of being called the most diverse city in America in 2020 by US News. And so we just had all this momentum, and myself moving back from a landlocked state that wasn't super diverse and et cetera, we were like going and eating all these crazy foods and experiencing all these things in Stockton and just having so much fun. Like, and how I explained it to Wes, I was like, you can like taste the flavors of the whole world in Stockton. And we were like, that's pretty unique that you can do that. Like, you cannot do this everywhere. And so if we ever had the opportunity to do some sort of large event, what would we do? And we were like, well, an international food festival would be like it. Like, how could we not do that? It would be crazy not to. And then we were given the opportunity to do so. So just seeing, like, you guys, the timeline we had to pull off last year's festival was insane, like months. And we did it, and it was crazy. We were like exhausted after the fact. But just like being passionate about something and knowing that it was, and I wrote this phrase a lot when we were applying for these awards and, you know, when you're trying to get sponsors and stuff, but we just wanted to be a reflection of the people and the cultures and the uniqueness of our community all in one space and to make it accessible for everyone. And we did it. It was a low-cost festival. We had food representation, global performances, music from all stretches of the planet. And it was just an easy way for people to become more comfortable. It makes people more, you know, accepting of other things and whatnot. Like food is a really easy way to be like more understanding of other cultures and whatnot. And I'm not, you know, I'm no expert on like, you know, causing the world's issues with, you know, differences or what have you. But we like to think we, you know, helped bridge a little gap into some of that. So it was very cool. And the vibe was pretty awesome. So,
well, and I think we talked a lot about how we wanted to create a festival unlike any other festival in Stockton. And I think some of the ways to me that really check the box on that is really our focus on how we kind of, they call it jurying vendors, but our selection process of how we, you just didn't buy a booth and got accepted, right? We look at every single vendor, their experience, their Instagram, and, you know, what they're doing to promote themselves, the diversity of their food, their, you know, all of that stuff. And we also didn't bring in a lot of the commercial vendors you'll see at other festivals. So there was no, you know, gutter guard or no solar. You know, everybody's a maker or an artisan or a craftsperson or a small business.
They were all small businesses. Yeah. Yep, exactly.
So it just was, it just felt so different there. You know, again, we provide all the tents to all of our vendors that are there. Unlike a lot of places you go, you know, everybody brings their own tent. So it's kind of this hodgepodge of signage and tenting. Yeah. And we really wanted this consistent look and feel. As soon as you entered, you know, I mean, last year, as soon as you went under the main truss that had all the flags hanging from it, you know, you may have had, you know, Ballet Folklorico or some other act right past there with the fountains on. It just felt different as soon as you walked in. So I think we did a great job. God, this is a lot of patting your back, isn't it?
Yeah, God, I know. Well, and we should give big kudos to our partners at Goodstock Productions because they are the ones who help us go through the vendor process and help create that vibe there with the decor and what have you. So we're lucky to have a group like that in Stockton who's able to pull off such a cool event. So, oh God, yeah, maybe we should stop.
Okay, so let me change the subject. So yes. Let's talk about what is new at this year's festival and what do you think people should know about?
So one of the biggest changes of this year's festival is we're a 3-day festival now. So last year it was Saturday, Sunday. Today you also get a Friday. So Friday is going to be really cool. And we understand Friday is kind of a funky day. You have work probably or whatever or school. But if you're getting out of work early, if you want to come by during your lunch break, if you work downtown, we'll have, you know, all the food vendors will be up, which will be super cool. It's kind of a slower vibe on Fridays. And we're also focusing really hard on the music on Friday to be like extra fun and special. So like that post-work hangout party vibe. So anyways, entrance into the festival, $5 on Friday, which is awesome. We also are going to have happy hour all day from our beverage vendors. We are going to have $2 food tasters from a bunch of participating food vendors. That was something we heard last year was, you know, this year we're having like nearly 60 food vendors. And when you go in, like, if you're like me, like I love an appetizer, right? I want to try a little bit of everything. And so that was something I heard specifically from my siblings after they went last year. Those are like the only people who gave me any critique about the festival was my family. I was like, of course you would. But, you know, that is family. Anyways, and it was like, oh, it'd be so cool if I could like go try a little bit from all these different places instead of, you know, making one big investment in one food truck or food tent. So we're doing that. So you'll be able to I think we have over 20 participants that are going to have these $2 tasting bites that you can go around and check out. And also for $2, you will be able to do like a mini beer festival that we're going to be having inside our craft beverage tent, which will be really cool too. So we'll have the little mini mugs and for $2, you'll fill that bad boy up and get to do like a special tasting. And that'll be later in the afternoon from 4 to 8. So just to kind of keep that party vibe going. It's going to be sweet. And then, oh, speaking of drinking, we also, for the first time, are going to have a margarita vendor. So we're partnering with Tia Linda's Margarita, and they're going to be out there the whole gamut of the festival. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, slinging their lemon lime margaritas, and they are so good, you guys. If you haven't had them yet, they're typically at the They were at the Stockton Arena a lot this past year, and it's just, it's a good little margarita. So
no, I'd encourage you to go to Tia Linda's website to see the effort that they put in about, you know, sourcing their products organically, high quality tequila. It's not a malt beverage. And they really focus on making an amazing beverage that'll be poured over ice in one location just outside of the circle on the north side of the footprint. But yeah, and to your point about food and the sampling thing, it is so true, because if you have one Lockford sausage, like, you don't have to keep eating, right? And correct. So that's what happens at a festival, where you go and you get this one big dish and it's amazing, but you want to try all 60 food vendors. And now we wouldn't encourage that sort of gluttony. But
I do. I don't care.
But and then we can't do it every day. Got 3 days to do it. Because a lot of food vendors are going to be, I mean, it's a busy festival. You know, there'll be thousands of people there Saturday and Sunday. So Friday's a little slower. It gives us an opportunity to do some of this stuff. And if it works out, we may try something new for 2024. But no, I'm excited about the food tasting.
I'm so excited.
The happy hour, $5 beer and seltzers on Friday, and then $5 admission. So like you said, even if you work downtown, you pay $5 to get in, you could hit up all these food trucks, basically our food vendors. I mean, there is like 16, 17 food trucks alone, but then there's tons of food vendors. The food is the best. Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And then, so then it's a whole extra day of music. It's a whole extra day of kitchen demos, et cetera, et cetera. We'll talk about music and all that more later. But Friday is the big new addition, and it's going to be a very fun day. So take the day off. Come to Flavor Fest that day. It'd be so fun. We'll be there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Having a grand old time. All right, Wes, give the audience a high-level overview of what people can do at the festival.
So as we've talked about, this is really a celebration of our community's culture through food, arts, music, so on. And so, you know, from the moment you go in, one thing we focused on, of course, it's $10 admission the other 2 days, but, you know, even with $5 Friday, you get all the same experiences. But, you know, it is really about kind of just something going on everywhere. And there's not a lot of things you have to pay for once you get in the door, right? You mentioned the cooking demonstration tent that is activated all 3 days. You can sit down and learn all kinds of different cooking demos that'll be on the schedule for that day. Or maybe you want to take in an arts workshop at the arts workshop tent and sit down and do some craft with your kid, or as an adult, you can do that. Or maybe you want to watch a live art demonstration that's happening throughout the festival, or just, you know, walk around and shop at one of the many vendors that are there selling their wares. There's lots of entertainment. As you mentioned, we'll talk a little bit about the music, but the main stage has 21 acts over the 3 days. And then the craft beer tent, which is our only area at the footprint that costs a little extra money. It costs $5 to get in there, and it's 21 and over. They have singer-songwriters every day. And then if you have kids, there is our family kids tent. It's like STEM, right? Science, technology, engineering, math kind of concept. You go in and there's all kinds of activities, and it's all free. Doesn't cost you a dime. And gosh, that thing was popping last year. Kids loved it, right? So, you know, and even on, you know, Sunday, there's a special thing, the drag brunch, which is something we don't do any other day. That is an add-on experience, because it is a fundraiser for the Pride Center. It's $50, but you get bottomless mimosas, you get breakfast, you get seating in the craft beer tent, the back porch of the craft beer tent. And that sold out last year. So we can already say, I think it's already sold maybe a fifth of the tickets already. And we haven't even hardly talked about it. So it's going to be.
I know. I don't even think we put one ad out yet for it.
So and then the strolling entertainment. I mean, this year we have taiko drummers and ballet folklorico and Polynesian dancers. And so, you know, Diana on our team has it programmed. Like and they stroll, right? So you're walking around and there's some cultural group doing a performance on the grass or at the front by the fountain. And then we also have, you know, we'll have a strolling, like I think it's a giant fox, fairy fox, kind of mystical fox. Yeah. And then we have a group called the Drumheads, which I don't even know how to describe it, but you're going to
I think it's like rave music for kids is what I've decided. It's like one of the DJs that wear the like marshmallow that wears the big head, but it's these guys with these drums as heads, and they're very cool.
Yeah. And they'll be there Saturday and Sunday as well. The other mystical animal strolling entertainment. So, but it's just, I don't know. It goes back to just that food and the arts and stuff. It's just all over the place. So to me, that's kind of what you could expect to find. Now, as for a schedule, so we are also mixing that up a little bit, and which I'm excited about. So yes, Amy mentioned we're opening up on Friday, and Friday is going to be 11 to 8 p.m. So we're going a little later. So last year's festival ended at 7, but Friday and Saturday this year were 11 to 8. So we're going to get a little later in the evening, probably a little cooler, right, after that 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock hour. And that's when our main stage entertainment will happen for each day, but 11 to 8 on Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday will be the traditional 10 to 7. And there is a schedule at a glance on our website that'll break down not only the hours of the festival, but it also break down information on all the other stuff that you can find with the arts workshops, the Mind Works kids tent, the Kitchen at Stonebriar demo tent, the Mick Ultra main stage, and then our strolling and pop-up entertainment and the drag brunch. So it's all at the schedule at a glance on our website. So, I mean, I can tell you, I mean, we watched the recap video. And again, I'd encourage you to go online and check that out at StocktonFlavorFest.com. You know, we spent, I don't know, 20 hours there over 2 days. And there's so many things that I saw in that video. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. I never saw that. Wow, that's amazing. I never saw that. So the other thing we're excited about this year, I don't want to get too far ahead, but if you really like look at our schedule and say, God, like, I feel like I want to be there all weekend, we actually have a special price for that this year. We are selling an $18 3-day festival ticket. Now tell me, where can you get a $18 3-day festival ticket anywhere? I mean, that's just unheard of, but we really know, one, we know that you're going to come in, you're going to support our vendors, right? And that's the most important thing for us, to make sure that our food and our arts vendors are supported. But us, we just know that people may go, God, that entertainment on Friday looks good. Oh, and Saturday, oh, wait. And
yeah,
I'll bring the kids one day, but maybe I'll fly solo another day. So $18. So that's only pre-sale. So that ticket will stop the day before the festival. So make sure that you get ahead on that and buy that $18 pre-sale ticket.
The content is different every single day for every single space. So yes, absolutely. You don't want to miss anything. And for $18, you could come for an hour one day and still make it worth your while. And then a couple hours the next day and what have you. So we hope to see some of you out there multiple days. That's how a true festival goer does their stuff. So it'd be very flattering to us if we had some repeat visitors. So we'd love it.
I mean, if you bought Friday's ticket at face value for $5 and Saturday's ticket at $10, that's $15 right there. Then you're getting Sunday for $3. So as well just do it. And kids under 12 are free. So, I mean, you know, you don't even have to think about their ticket. We're only talking about adult tickets here. So anyway, it's just exciting.
We're very excited.
Let's talk food, because, you know, there's some stuff. I mentioned Lockford Sausage, and they will be back this year. They're a great one. But, you know, we have so much diverse food. And one of the things that always pops in my head, and I hope they're doing a $2 special, and we don't have that complete list yet, but is Egg Saldas. You know, they make the Portuguese donut, which is called a
Masaldas.
There you go. And if you've never had one, it's like a donut, a little larger than a donut hole. That's it's rolled in sugar like that, but it's filled with different flavors. And
it's so good.
It is so good, but the order is big. And so, like, if they do a $2, that'd be perfect, because you can just get a sample of that. But that is one, like, last year, that was one of my favorite bites that I had, but there are so many. So why don't you talk a little bit about the food?
Yes, totally. So I've been checking out the list. So we obviously have some repeaters that are coming in, like Lockford Sausage, and a couple of, but this year we have some really cool Filipino street food vendors. One of the ones I've been eyeballing is called Street Sticks, and it's like different dumpling looking things like that they put on a stick so you can walk around and pop them off as you're checking out the festival, which looks amazing to me. We're going to have one of our past podcasters, Michael Heavenly Sweets, is going to be out there slinging his sweet treats at the festival, which will be so fun. We're going to have a Supreme Musubi, which, Wes, have you ever had a Spam Musubi before?
I have not, because I'm not a big seaweed guy, so that's kind of a requirement. And I don't eat rice anymore. So yes, but no, but I have definitely musubi.
I'm obsessed. Musubi is so hot right now. Yeah, it really is. No, actually that new spot on the Miracle Mile Mile Islanders has like a spam musubi, like appetizer too. And it's so good, you guys. So we're obviously stoked about that. We'll have a couple Mexican trucks out there. We're going to have, this was another one that I thought sounded so good. It's called Bucket of Nuggets and it's yes. hand cut chicken nuggets. And I eat adventurously, but I also can eat like a toddler. So I like a nugget and ranch, but like a hand cut nut. Oh my God. That is like, I'm just so into that. I'm so excited for it. So yeah, we have a ton of really cool food vendors.
Here's one I'm excited about. So I actually had this at the Asparagus Festival last weekend. They're coming to our festival. Have you ever had Melly's Churros?
Are they a truck?
Yes.
I've had that like in Stockton somewhere and it's filled with like caramel and stuff, right?
Oh gosh, they had one. Yeah. So they're homemade churros, right? They're not like a lot of times you see churros and they're kind of reheated and they're all exactly the same size. These are all, you know, like just fried right on site. And yes, they have caramel, chocolate, like a dolce, but they also have a just a regular cream cheese center one.
Oh, yum.
So freaking good. So I'm excited about that. But on our website, we actually, out of our 60 food vendors, we actually put little asterisks next to ones that are food trucks. So that helps you figure out which ones, like Union Jack's Pasty Shack. Is it a pasty or pasty?
What's a pasty? Pasty.
They're a hand pie, basically. So the miners used to make those. Yum. You know, they're like a chicken pot pie, but it's handheld kind of thing. So we have that. We have one called Snapper's Seafood, which I'm also happy about. Patrick's House Catering. They were there last year. Super popular.
So great. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of desserts, too. We have one called Fry Boys and Daisy's Desserts. We have Flavor Fusion, Cruising Cones, a lot of we have some boba. Brasburger will be back. They were hecka popular. The other designation we do on our website is we note which ones are offering vegan dishes, because I know that's always a request we get. So we do have ones that are purely vegan. Of course, a lot of them may not be designated as vegan, but we have a place called the Apple Stow. So I'm assuming that it sells apples, which there's got to be something vegan about that. So yeah, it's just so much. So and that's why you need a 3-day pass, right? You can't do this in a day. You really have to come back more than one day. So yeah, everything. Gumbo Social. I mean, gumbo. Oh God, it's going to be
delicious.
So good. Yeah.
And the other component about food that we're super excited about is that we have the Kitchen at Stonebriar back hosting our kitchen demonstration tent. And we have some really fun stuff happening. So Wes, are you familiar with House of Ice Cream? That kind of down here off of... El Dorado. Roderick, who's their owner, he was a Food Network. He was on one of the competitions with them.
Yep, yep,
and he's going to be doing some sort of like make at home ice cream demonstration for us. We're going to have our friend Lauren Tarullo from Santa Luna. She's going to be hosting a session about like how to host like a dinner party and kind of talk about like some of the services her business offers. Of course, we're going to have the Kitchen at Stonebriar out there. They're going to be doing a homemade pasta class, which is super cool. Tia Linda's is going to be doing a summer margarita pairing. We're going to have Cast Iron out there teaching us about pickling vegetables. We're going to have one of our good partners, the Community Kitchen, is going to be doing a Puerto Rican / Filipino food fusion class. So we're going to have, and again, that is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There's all sorts of kitchen demonstrations. So it's a nice, you know, way to learn about some of the businesses in town and go show some support, learn about a new business that you haven't heard of, and just get more in tune with your inner chef. So
yeah, great kitchen demo tent. It's a large tent that is shaded. It's got seating all in the shade. It's also in a very shady area of the festival right near where all the food is. We actually have a TV monitor so you can see what they're doing on their little cooking stage. We have microphones. So it's an easy place if you just want to, you know, support our local restaurants and sit down and cool off a little, or if you're really interested in what's going on. We just encourage you to check that out. We want to have that full for every single cooking demo class. Wesley, who's on our team, he runs that tent. He wants to make sure that you're there too. Yes, he is the best.
He'll force you in there. Sit down.
I'm excited about that one. That is the cooking demo tent is such a cool place.
So fun.
For sharing that.
Yes, of course. Yeah, we got a lot going on this year. More food vendors than last year for sure. But we got an extra day. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
We're excited. Okay, so kind of speaking of food, Wes, can you talk a little bit about what the festival is doing in terms of sustainability and food waste, et cetera?
Yeah, a couple of things. You know, when we first started this event last year, one of the other goals, because, you know, we just didn't have enough awesome goals, is to really try to be Stockton's greenest festival, right? And so one of the things that we ask our vendors to do is to only use compostable serveware. So we're avoiding foam, we're avoiding plastic forks and knives. So, right, it should be served in some sort of cardboard or compostable paper bowl or dish, compostable forks or spoons. We don't have straws. We are really looking to find as many ways to be sustainable as possible. And we actually have a three-way waste system at, there's like 25 of them all over the festival. So you'll have your recycling, which where your cans and bottles go. There are no bottles, but like if there's recyclable, any recyclable bottles, but the cans, so all of our beverages, our alcoholic beverages and our sodas are all served, and our water bottles will be in recycled aluminum cans or bottles, I guess. They all go into the recycle bin, right? So we have all of that. So there are no plastic water bottles on the footprint. And then we have a compost waste thing where all the compost goes. Then we have the trash, if there's anything that is just purely trash that needs to go in there. So we encourage folks to do that. And we actually have a group that's going to help us monitor those waste stations this year so we can really focus on diversion from the waste stream. So, I mean, we are definitely taking the lead in sustainability when it comes to festivals in Stockton. The other thing is we offer free water. Now, I mentioned we're selling canned, it's bottled, aluminum bottled Dasani water, right? So we're selling that. So we will sell bottled water, but it's going to be in a can because that is better than those plastic water bottles where people think are recyclable, but they really aren't. But we offer free water. So we have two filtered water stations on the footprint. So if you bring in an empty water bottle or refillable container, you can fill that all day with free water. It won't cost you a dime. We always keep our water prices low, but you know, water is a necessity. And we want people to be safe because if it's warm out there, we want plenty of people drinking water. So no plastic, we won't allow you to bring in water bottles that have water in them. But we will allow you to bring in refillable water bottles, and we'll have those two stations that you can refill all day on your own. So we are excited to kind of take that lead in the city. You know, I think we all know that the state in general is really focusing on sustainability and composting and things like that. As a festival, it's not easy, but it's something we're really passionate about. And so we hope that all of our attendees will help us do this better, right? So just don't throw your trash into wherever it goes.
Correct.
Hopefully you'll take a little more time to say, oh, my compostable go forks go here, and this can goes here, and oh, this definitely looks like trash. Let me put this in here. So we need everybody's help to meet our goals. So Amy, we've been kind of dabbling, talking about the arts and crafts during this conversation. And of course, there's a lot of arts vendors listed on our site. Let's talk about the arts and crafts component of Stockton Flavor Fest.
Totally. So this was something that Wes and I talked about a lot, like back in the day during the old Asparagus Festival. Wes was mentioning that the artist vendors were like such a huge draw for the people coming in. And I mean, an artist vendor has a lot harder job at a festival, right? Like you go to a festival hungry, you're probably going to buy some food. And artist vendors, they're hustling out there, you know what I mean? To try to get you to buy something like, you know, a piece of jewelry or a piece of art, what have you. And our artist vendors loved being out there last year. And like we mentioned before, we put so much time and curation into who is coming to the festival. So all these artist vendors are handmade. They are the local regional there. It's not some, you know, corporation selling plastic jewelry that they bought from somewhere else and are trying to sell it at the festival. Like everything is very intentional and very artistic. So we're super stoked. And so, yes, of course, we'll have your traditional, you know, glass bead makers and portraitures, but we have some funky artist vendors too. Like, so last year, our friends at Unico Salon came out and they were doing like hair wraps and like crazy colored braids and glittering and charms and whatnot in the hair. So you can like have festival hair at the festival. which is really cool. I gotta love that. We're going to have a henna artist out there again this year, which is really fun. So you can go and, you know, get henna'd up while you're walking around and checking things out. A lot of really cool, you know, and the price ranges vary too, right? Like we have some vendors who create really cool stickers and we have some who make, you know, $200 art pieces. So there's a little bit of everything. And then another thing we're also excited about beyond just the artist vendors is we, of course, are going to have our arts workshop tent there yet again. And so our friends at Tuliburg Press will be out there working on, it's like a printmaking press on some of the old manhole covers that are within the park, which actually, Wes, do you know the story about the manhole covers? About they were commissioned like in the 90s, I think, for all these really cool designs all around Stockton. Is that correct?
Yeah. So what happened was it was kind of like a public art piece, right? So it was part of all that public art funding that we had. So actually there's some downtown right around the corner from our office near the courthouse. So there are hit and miss all downtown, but Weber Point has a couple of those. One that Paula will be working on. There's another one that's going to be on the other side, the north side, with the two food trucks in that new area we expanded to. So yeah, they're really cool. And the idea of actually putting ink on them and then pressing fabric on there to make the imprint, to me, that's just the coolest thing.
It's awesome. So yeah, so they'll be out there on Saturday and Sunday of the festival doing those prints. So you'll actually get to go home with one of the prints, which is really fun. We have a new sponsor this year, which is Sprouts Marketplace. And they are going to be giving us a bunch of these cool like local market tote bags that we're going to have as one of the workshops that everyone can come in and like decorate these bags. And then you can use them for all your swag and all your stuff that you're buying throughout the festival. And then of course we will also have some live art going on at the festival. One that I'm super excited about, Wes, and I don't think I've told you about this yet, but there's a local artist who goes by the name Cognac, and he is the one who did the mural downtown of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, like the memorial mural. And so he's going to be out there. He's going to have an artist booth, but he's also going to be doing live art for us over the course of the weekend on some big canvases, which will be super sick. He's a great street artist. So that'll be really fun. And yeah, and we'll have actually, by the time this comes out, we should have our map ready to go, and you'll be able to see the different designations on the map of where the live art pieces are going to be happening. And then we are expanding the footprint of the festival a bit this year into the north side of the park. And so you'll have to go on the hunt for our really cool hands that we had out there last year. So it's going to be almost like a little scavenger hunt to go find them. But the really cool hands that our friends at Merge put together, you'll dig them. So if you go watch our video, you'll remember the hands. So those will be back out for photo ops as well. So lots of fun stuff art-wise at the festival this year.
No, I love it. And it's great to work with Good Stock, of course, as they worked with a lot of artisans and makers when they did Stock Market in Stockton. And, it's just great to be able to support them. As you mentioned, they have to work harder. You know, people aren't going there to buy piece of art necessarily, like it's food and stuff, but we want people to go out and support them because it's so important to make sure that our artists, local artisans and makers get supported. And you're going to find some cool stuff there, and it's a great place to get a gift. Definitely support those folks over in the arts section.
Love it. All right. So kind of in the same vein, Wes, can you talk a little bit about our musical acts on the Michelob Ultra main stage this year?
Yeah, you know, as I mentioned before, we had 21 acts on our main stage. And again, we probably, 21, we probably went through a list of 100 submissions. And so we really wanted to focus on having a variety of different types of bands representing diverse cultures, different types of music. And I think we definitely succeeded on that.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to mention a few. And so on Friday, like we have a group called Rubber Lizard. We have Funky Tim and the Merlots and Edie Collier. But we finished the day at 6:30 with the Spasmatics. This was my my request for the festival because I'm a big Spasmatics fan. I've seen them in different cities. There's some big, like Austin has a Spasmatics group, and you know, some large cities around the country. We have one in the Bay Area. So Spasmatics actually dress up kind of geeky and nerdy, and they play all these really cool 80s hits, you know, not just Whip It or 8675309 or all. I mean, it is a good show, and that's going to be on that $5 Friday at 6:30. Remember, we close at 8. So this is where you come down after work, You grab some food, you come in for $5, you go check out the craft beer tent, maybe do a little beer sampling, and hit the Spasmatics at 6:30. And then on Saturday, we actually start off with a gentleman called Go Kurosawa. He is a guitarist who I it's kind of hard. They call him a bicultural music samurai. Definitely a unique act, not something you're going to see at other festivals. He tours across the world. So I'm actually excited to kick off Saturday with Go.
His promo picture is so badass. Have you seen it? His promo picture? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Virgo Gabrielle comes back. She was really popular last year. Pedro Bocar Afro Blue Graz Band. And Bigelow's Treehouse comes back. They were a really big hit last year. And then we're bringing a band out of the Pacific Northwest called the Junebugs. And they are kind of hip, folky band, a three-man band that just plays some really cool versions. They do a lot of cover songs. They do some original, but they play just really really good interpretation, really cool, funky interpretation of lots of songs you know. So I'd really encourage you at 6:30 on Saturday to check out the Junebugs. And then Sunday, we've got Outlaw Mariachi. That just sounds amazing. So cool. Already. Songbird Tonette Janine, she's coming back from last year. And we're finishing off the day with a band just north of us called the David Perez Project. They were there last year. Really great. That plays, I don't know, I guess it's a little bit of kind of war 70s, maybe Latin inspired music, maybe it's Santana or War, but just a wide variety of music, really popular. They're at 5:30 on Sunday. And, you know, that just scratches the surface for live entertainment because, as I mentioned before, the Craft Beer and Wine Tent also has entertainment all day long. Some of your local favorites like Horatio Monroe, Kate Smash, Giovanni Brooks, Scotty Rich. We've got a German beer choir there on Friday night at 5:30.
So and this cool. is
from the Stockton Corral locally. If you haven't checked them out, you want to check out the Stockton Corral's beer choir on Friday night. So, I mean, there are, let me see, 11 different acts on the back porch of the craft beer tent, all singer-songwriters, all local, and they all getting paid. And we'll have a nice little setup out there. You can sit in the Adirondacks and enjoy the nice Delta breeze as you look over the water and enjoy some cool damn music. So it's
that
it's
back porch area is like, it's so beautiful back there. The point of Weber Point, you're like, oh yeah, I get this. So we, and I don't know if many other events that happen out there really utilize that space, but we decided to make that like our second performance stage, if you will. And even if you're not 21, so it's 21 to get into that area, but it's like, it's a waist-high gate, so you can just, you know, if your kids want to check it out, you can come stand around the edge of the gate and check out the music and everything else.
Oh, you can totally listen to the music. Same thing with the drag brunch. If you want, if you don't, you know, if you don't care about the bottomless mimosas or the amazing meal or to sit in a nice comfy chair and watch the drag brunch, you can just sit around the fence and cheer them on a Sunday morning. So, you know, that area is a special, special place, and hopefully you'll get to enjoy that.
Yeah, I'm getting all amped up. I don't know. I want to go to Flavor Fest. That's the hard thing when you work the festival.
Yes,
I need there to be a second one that I don't run. Yeah.
It's a 20, there's 27 hours of festival time. But if you don't know, the Visit Stockton team actually obviously starts on Monday with load in on the footprint. Oh, yeah. And so we are usually there a good 40 or 50 hours before the gates even open. So yeah, we're tired. But we are excited to see everybody there. We really, really are.
Yes,
to share all this excitement with you.
That's right. All right, Wes. So if the people want more details on the festival, where do they go?
So we have a website. It's all by itself, and it's called StocktonFlavorFest.com, and it's got everything. Like I mentioned, you can get the schedule at a glance. You can get ticket information. You can see what it is like to look at our entertainment schedule, our food and drink list, our artisan and makers vendors, our workshops, our craft beer tent information, our cooking demo schedule, who we have for pop-up performances, information on not only tickets for the main festival, but the drag brunch, and also you know, when this comes out, there's probably still some opportunity to volunteer. So, you know, we have we're volunteer driven. And I think that's important to mention that we have over 700 volunteers that we actually provide some of our proceeds to at the end of the festival and basically pay them for their hours. So we have 35 different nonprofits. And so there typically isn't any individual volunteering, but you have to volunteer with a nonprofit, but they do all of our stuff throughout the festival. And that information is on the website. And then this year we actually have, if you go to our website and then the bottom right corner, it says have questions, chat with Bricky. And little Bricky is our mascot for our little chat bot. And so we actually have a way that either before or during the festival, you can actually type in the word vendors or the word schedule or the words, you know, stage. And this all works through text and it'll provide you links to all of our schedule, mapping, all of that stuff. So it's a great way that once you get there and you go, God, I have a question, and there'll be like signs all over the festival. But when you get there, if you have questions and you say, gosh, what time is, you know, the Spasmatics on, you can type in entertainment or stage. It'll give you prompts, but it's all through your text. And it's a great way just to stay on top of things. And so there's just tons of information at StocktonFlavorFest.com. And again, I'd encourage you to check out that recap video because it is fire.
So you guys, make sure you come out May 19th, 20th, and 21st. So it's year two of Stockton Flavor Fest. We are super excited to be bringing it back for you all. And you don't want to miss out. Make sure you come check it out and hang out with us at Weber Point Event Center.
For supporting images and insights, follow This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. That's a big thing, right? Subscribe to this podcast. If you've heard it, you want to hear it more, subscribe on Apple and Spotify, wherever you're at. Stay up to date on everything going on in Stockton. Follow us. Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Esteves with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.